In a day of moral deterioration and spiritual darkness, there stands an institution of learning grounded on the Word of God, holding forth the light of truth. Bob Jones University, a fortress of faith.
Out for the Lord, courageously and yet graciously, often seems to be a problem for newly converted Christians. And it was a problem for me until I met a woman who, in her gentle, feminine way, took advantage of every opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ. She would have been embarrassed if I'd ever told her I considered her an example. She always felt she was one of the least talented of God's children. She told me how she became a Christian.
When I found the Lord as my Savior, I was 43 years old. Imagine, isn't that a miracle? Because usually at that age, people are so set in their ways. I had a Christian mother who prayed for me and my brothers and sisters, but somehow, when I was young, I avoided making a definite decision to accept Christ as my Savior. You see, my mother was foreign-born and very soft-spoken. And I guess she felt inadequate about explaining the wonders of God's Word and His plan of salvation to us, who spoke English so much better than she. But I knew she prayed for me and for the others. And she trusted that sometime, somewhere, all her children would be saved.
And were they?
Oh, yes. The Lord answered her prayers. Before I became a Christian, I was married with two daughters of my own. I was a faithful churchgoer in a rather formal church. I always tried to get into activities which would help me have a greater opportunity for social work, so I could help those who were less fortunate than we. I trained my daughters, when they were tiny girls, to go with me when we visited poorer families with baskets of food and good, usable clothes that weren't worn, just outgrown. I wanted them to see their responsibility toward others and to thank God for His goodness. But despite all this, we were unsaved. One day a new neighbor asked me if I'd like to go shopping with her. She had a car, and I didn't drive, so I readily agreed.
Glad you could get someone to stay with the children, Mildred. It's a beautiful day, and we'll get lots of shopping done.
It's kind of you to take me. I rarely get an opportunity to shop as far away as Cleveland.
Well, the stores are bigger there than the ones we have here in town. It's worth driving the extra 20 miles to get more variety.
And there's so many things I need. New winter coats for the girls, and then some gloves.
Pardon me, Mildred, but there's something I've been wanting to ask you. When you said there are so many things you need, I thought, well, maybe this is the time.
Yes? What is it?
Mildred, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
No. No, but I'd like to. My mother used to talk to me about that when I was young. But no one else has ever mentioned it since. Please, tell me how I can accept him.
And that was how she met the Lord, by the witness of a Christian neighbor. And she never forgot the fruit of that concern. The change in Mildred's life was dramatic. She was so hungry to know more about God's grace and provision that she studied the Bible for hours every day, drinking in the good news. She found the works of the early church fathers, reading avidly to make up for the years when she'd had no spiritual training.
Bill, could I talk to you about something for a minute?
Why, of course, honey. What is it?
Bill, you know I've been saved. And oh, how I want you and the girls to know the joy and peace I've found.
Yes?
You've been so patient when I've told you about it, and I appreciate that. But, well, today I was reading in my Bible, and I found the verse that says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." I realize I'll never grow in the Lord if I go back to our church.
But, Mildred, why?
Last Sunday, at the door after the service, when I talked to the rector, I told him how I'd received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And do you know what he said? He said he was amazed that he'd never seen anyone who'd had an experience like that before. Imagine, Bill, and he's been a minister for over 40 years. Please, let's go somewhere else, to some church where we'll hear a minister who'll tell us what the Bible teaches instead of what's happening in Washington.
Well, all right, dear, if that's what you want. You pick the church and we'll go.
Sweetly, lovingly, she exposed her family to the gospel and its power to transform lives. One by one, they found the Lord.
Oh, I'll never be able to thank the Lord enough for what he's done for us. Saving us, leading us to Christian friends like you. You know the most wonderful thing in the world is to have a Christian home. To think I was married almost 20 years before I found the Savior. How could I have waited so long? And what if no one had told me?
It is wonderful how God works.
I was reading my Bible today, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I don't think that means we're supposed to be odd or unpleasant, does it?
No.
But it means his love should shine through us. Shine through us so much that other people will see Christ and want him too. Don't you think so?
Yes. I know we're supposed to witness, but I've always thought it was easier for a man. If my husband did his witnessing at work, well, that counted for me too.
Well, my new pastor says everyone should manifest the love of Christ. When I wasn't even a Christian, years ago, I was a member of a garden club, and we used to take flowers to patients in the hospitals and try to cheer them up a bit. I think I could do that again, because now I really can tell them what would cheer them. Don't you think there are sick women who would like to have a visitor?
Yes, that's a good idea. Let me know how it comes out. Several days a week, she visited strangers in the hospital, and almost every time I saw her, she was glowing with a story of how another woman had found Christ.
Oh, I'm so glad I caught you at home. I wanted to tell you how God answered my prayers. I just walked into the room and asked her if she'd like me to read to her anything she wished. And she admitted she'd been so lonely that her children rarely came to visit. She said she didn't have a book there for me to read, but if I had something... So I read my Bible, and she began to ask questions. And she was saved, right there in the hospital. She wanted Bill and me to visit her when she gets home next week, so we can talk to her grown children, too. Bill told me when I got home that we'd go any time that it was convenient for her.
That family found opportunities to witness for the Lord that I hadn't even dreamed existed. One day I stopped by to borrow some cinnamon, and she told me what had happened.
Yesterday, a vacuum cleaner salesman rang the doorbell and asked me if he could demonstrate his new product. Naturally, I told him I'd be glad to listen if afterward he'd let me tell him about something I'd discovered. He agreed, so he went through the whole demonstration. He was delighted. Said his boss would be happy he'd finally given one where someone didn't shut the door in his face before he'd finished. Then I told him about how I had realized that I was a sinner and needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. That he'd paid sin's penalty for me. And he was so interested, he asked if I could let him kneel down there, right there in our living room, and ask the Lord to save him too. And after that, he invited me over to talk to his wife. So when Bill came home from the office, we went to their house and talked to the whole family. And they found Christ as their Savior. Isn't the Lord good to give us such opportunity?
The vacuum cleaner salesman, his wife, a woman on the bus, a neighbor down the street, and so many others. I asked her once what made her so successful.
Oh, you've got it all wrong. I'm not successful. Why, really, I'm rather shy. I just pray, and the Lord leads me to someone who's already hungry for eternal life and peace with God, someone who really needs him. After I finish my housework and the girls are still not home from school, I spend my afternoon praying that he'll lead me to someone who needs him, to whom I can speak. And he always does. You know me, I'm no public speaker. I'd never be able to get up and teach like some people can at church. I wouldn't have the courage. But I can pray. And I can tell someone what the Lord has done for me. And God does the rest.
I told you she was an inspiration to me. And watching her, I found what real Christian faithfulness is. Not a glorifying of self, but a glorifying of God. Every year she wins many people to the Lord, but she never remembers the number. She doesn't even count them. She just lives for the Lord and lets him reap the harvest. But every time I read that verse in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, I think it is, and the 23rd verse, I think of her. A word spoken in due season, how good it is.
Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Today's true story was adapted for radio by Joyce Parks. Listen again next week at this time for another dramatic story of Christian experience from the Fortress of Faith, Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.